Good morning, Pianita. Thank you for the privilege of addressing you this morning. my name is Miguel Medina. I am the lead pastor at Cross Point Español in Orlando, Florida. And if there's something that stands out to me as I get the privilege of worshiping among you guys, is that we are loud. It's like, I'm like, I really need to watch out how I speak. So if I seem loud, I'm not angry. I'm Puerto Rican. So we've had the privilege of working closely with Crosspoint Coast for about 6 years now. And because of this partnership, Crosspoint Español is a stronger congregation. So I am thankful to my dear friend Jeremiah, and I am thankful to Crosspoint Coast for your contribution, which makes our partnership possible. Thank you very much. I want to share a little bit more of my background with Crosspoint Church in general. When I moved from Miami to Orlando in 2013, I came to know a man named Chan Kilgore, and he had been praying for the opportunity to help plant a church for Spanish speakers in Central Florida, because he felt that if we are truly serious about reaching all of our city with the gospel, then you can't just turn a blind eye to the thousands of people constantly coming to our area whose first language is Spanish. And I am one of those. I am a first-generation migrant whose first language is Spanish. And I was able to experience the blessing of knowing a man of God who put his resources where his mouth was. You don't see that too often. And it was thanks to Chan Kilgore's gospel vision that Crosspoint Español was launched in Easter Sunday 2015. So God willing, this coming Easter, we will celebrate 9 years of God's faithfulness. Yeah. So, but even before our partnership with Crosspoint Coast, Pastor Jeremiah was already a friend to me. Like, this didn't have to happen for us to become friends. He was always curious about what living on mission means for Spanish speakers. So that's precisely what I'd like to talk about. Because what fuels my sense of mission toward Spanish speakers in Central Florida, that doesn't come from my sense of kinship with other Spanish speakers. What fuels that sense of mission is the fact that God is transforming me into someone who loves mission more than comfort. That's what fuels that. And I believe God is doing that through what I'm going to call the Trinitarian Commission. That is the same commission that fueled Paul's passion, the same commission that we see in today's passage. When Paul wrote the letter to the Ephesians, this letter follows pretty much the same structure that he has in other letters. He begins by laying some theological foundations and then goes into how those foundations should shape our lives. So on chapters 1 and 2 of Ephesians, Paul is establishing that one thing all humans have in common, don't matter where you're from, if regardless of ethnicity, language, nationality, is that we are all sinners by nature. We are all sinners by nature, and that we all need to be saved from ourselves. So Paul also establishes that God's love for his people, thankfully, is not based on their efforts. God doesn't love me because of my efforts. His love for me is based on his unmerited grace. So after he makes those two foundational points, you know, our common sinfulness and God's grace toward us, then at the beginning of chapter 3, we see that because of those two realities, our common sinfulness, God's grace, because of those two realities, God is about to reveal a mystery to the early church, a church that was overwhelmingly Jewish. And the mystery that God reveals to the early church in Ephesians 3:6 is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. So basically, since all of us have the same problem, we can all call on the same Savior. So as you can imagine, many were shaken because of the ethnic shift that the early church was about to undergo. So we know all that. The question we should ask is, so what? How does all that theology help me, a Spanish-speaking pastor, to be more mission-minded? Thank you for asking. I would say probably about 20 years ago, a Spanish-speaking church in Orlando could be expected to be overwhelmingly Puerto Rican. That was the truth about 20 years ago. But that is no longer the case. Today, Latinos in Central Florida come from many different countries. The nations are coming to Central Florida. And that means that in Cross Point Español, I am dealing with different accents. I'm dealing with different expressions. I'm dealing with different cultures, politics, experiences. And if I pastored people according to my comfort level, that would mean that only Puerto Ricans would feel welcome in Cross Point Español. But Paul teaches us in the letter to the Ephesians that in a world that thrives on turmoil, we preach the gospel to the world when we pursue unity by reaching across our differences. We also learn from Ephesians that reconciliation between people groups is indeed a gospel issue, is indeed something God cares about. It's an issue close to God's heart and one that he expects me to address and one that he expects you to address. So I believe this morning's passage will teach us that far from keeping our churches looking alike, far from keeping our churches looking homogenous, did I say that right? The will of our triune God is to save people who will make us uncomfortable. Now, well, before we get into this passage, would you pray with me briefly? Heavenly Father, I come before you with a dire sense of need. Help me preach in English. And Lord, and as far as all of us here together, for us to even comprehend this text, we need the vision and we need the insight that only your Spirit can provide. So Lord, would you empower us anew with your Spirit? Help us, Lord. Help us understand and help us celebrate your love for us to a degree that we submit our lives to you out of sheer delight in you, our Savior. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Not only am I short, I was never athletic. And so whenever we played ball in my neighborhood, and each team would choose their players, I was that kid. I was that kid at the end that the unfortunate team would get stuck with. That was me. So when I got to be around 10 years of age and I realized that I had, you know, that I had a thing for the guitar, that I had a shot at learning the guitar, I never looked back. And I gave it my all, and I haven't looked back since. At 55 years of age, I still love it. So for that reason, if I ever want to show off or brag on anything, it would not be a sports feat, you know? It wouldn't be an athletic accomplishment. It's more likely to be related to music, because we brag about what makes us look good, right? Interestingly enough, I believe that in this passage we find a God who likes to show off what his grace has accomplished. I believe we find that in God. As I said earlier, the first section of Ephesians 3 speaks of a mystery that God made known during the times of the early church. And that mystery was the fact that salvation was not restricted to ethnic Jews. So Paul shares a reason why God would do such a thing in Ephesians 3:10, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to whom? To the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. That is something that God is showing off to other spiritual beings. Everything that Paul has been announcing from the beginning of the letter, the blessings that God bestows on people that he chose before the foundation of the earth, the salvation that he gives freely to people who were dead by their sins, in their sins. The fact that through Jesus, the dividing walls of hostility have been brought down, God actually uses all of this so he can brag about it to other spiritual beings. I've seen God do that before. He bragged to the accuser about Job. So I would say there's some precedent. Thank you. That's what a wife is good for. I'm like, I know she's going to rescue me. I would say there's some precedent for that. So, and our enemy hates this. Our enemy abhors this. He is committed to try to hinder this work as much as he can. And you know what? Judging by our political climate, it looks like our enemy has been working overtime. Because it looks like those dividing walls of hostility and mutual mistrust, it feels like they're coming back up. The problem is, if we try to address these matters with human wisdom, if we try to address these matters on our own strength, we will grow weary because the price of reconciliation seems so high. It is difficult to embrace unity and embrace reconciliation because the default mode in our hearts is to drift towards the familiar, is to drift toward the homogenous. So I wouldn't be surprised if Paul himself, a Pharisee of Pharisees, I wouldn't be surprised if Paul himself struggled with the concept of integrating Jews and Gentiles into the early church. So what changed Paul's heart? How did he embrace the coming of the nations into the early church? How did Paul change his views? Well, today's passage shows that Paul aligned himself, he aligned himself with God's will by, number one, submitting to the Father. If the dividing walls of hostility were to come down in the early church, Paul had to be serious about asking God for help. And that's why he says, starting on chapter 3, verse 14, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father." You know, there are some matters that we pray for standing up. And there are other matters that are so serious and so far beyond our capacity to fix that we have to bow our knees. We have to get on our knees. And Paul bowed his knees before the Father. But this Father before whom Paul bowed his knees, he was more than the father of ethnic Israel. This is the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. You can't gloss over that statement. You know why? Because my heart tells me that I owe my allegiance only to my group, my kind, my tribe. That's what my heart tells me. And yet the Word of God says that all of humanity is so equal in its intrinsic value before its creator that we're all basically related. Hi, cousins. So Cross Point Coast, your family derives its name from the same Father as Cross Point Español. God the Father, the first person of the Trinity, he is the Father of every nation, every people, every tongue, every tribe. And if we are going to submit to the Father, we have to acknowledge our kinship. So Paul was able to lay aside his own preferences. Paul was able to appreciate the worth of every people group by submitting to God the Father. We also see Paul submitting to the Spirit as we continue to read the passage. Paul bowed his knee before the Father so that, as we see on verse 16, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Every time we say that we need the Spirit of God to give us strength, every time I say that, at least, it's because I'm about to go through something that is either difficult or impossible. So what is it that we need to be strengthened for? What kind of undertaking requires a strength that only God can give? We need the power of the Holy Spirit so we can properly understand God's love for us. You don't have that capability by nature. You need the power of the Spirit to understand God's love for you. By nature, we cannot understand all the implications of being loved, being chosen, being forgiven, being set apart by God, unless He opens our eyes to it. But when He does, when He opens our eyes, it changes who we are from the inside out. You can see the results in verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love. So you see that the Spirit causes you to have faith in Christ. It isn't something you make happen on your own. The Spirit causes you to have faith in Christ. The Spirit changes your motivation from self-interest to love. It gives you the brain capacity to comprehend with all the saints what is the, that's our word, breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You don't have the capability of having that knowledge of your own. If you have that knowledge, it's not because of your superior intellect. That kind of knowledge can only be granted by the Spirit of God. And if you are in Christ, if God has indeed brought you from death to life, this is the kind of knowledge that God will disclose to you as you seek His face, as you engage in spiritual disciplines. God will show you that the love of Christ is so broad that it extends to every nation, every tribe, every people, every tongue. God will show you that the love of Christ is so long that we're able to give thanks to the Lord, for He is good and His love endures forever. God will show us that the love of Christ is so high that, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5, it elevates us, because those who live no longer live for themselves, but for Him who for their sake died and was raised. The love of Christ is so deep that for our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. So, if this is you, if you have been brought from death to life, there is no way you can meditate on these truths and not change from the inside out. It's impossible. And that is the case with me. One of the ways in which God is changing me is by showing me that I have to step out of my comfort zone and make sure that Latinos who are not Puerto Rican feel welcome at Crosspoint Español. I mean, there are many things that I have to pay attention so that Latinos from other countries feel like, if I had the time to explain all the nuances and all the ways in which, for example, a Caribbean Latino can make a Central American Latino feel uncomfortable just because we're so loud and we get in people's faces, you know. And that's just the differences in how we are and how someone will hear a Puerto Rican accent and already make assumptions about my IQ, among the other things, because Puerto Rico is the south of Spanish, you know. We slur stuff together, we sound funny, and you do that. You make assumptions when you hear an Australian accent, a British accent, a Scottish accent. That happens with us as well. I do it with people do it with me. And I need to make sure that Latinos who are not Puerto Rican feel welcome at Crosspoint Español, because otherwise, I'm not believing God when He says that every family on earth derives its name from Him. The people I get along with and the people that make me uncomfortable. God has also shown me that you can't feel superior to anybody else when you see the picture that Ephesians 2 paints of all humanity. You can't feel superior to other people when you see that we were dead in the trespasses and sins in which we once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and we're by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. That's us by nature. That's us by default. That's our factory setting. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. So church, the most amazing story of reconciliation has already taken place through the death, life, and resurrection of Jesus on behalf of his enemies, of all people. So that means that reconciliation among us is not only possible, but inevitable. Because in spite of all the forces that would tear us apart, we know that God wins at the end. He's going to accomplish this. So if we come to know God and the power of his resurrection, let us also ask him to help us understand his love. And as we do that, we will submit to the Son. As we point to what he has done to bring about this reconciliation. You must know that the same pride that tempts me to show preference to Puerto Ricans like myself, that same pride, that's a problem that resides within the human heart. In the very same way, you show preference to the people who are most like you. So may I suggest that that may be a problem for you as well? If you find that tendency within yourself, please know that when we allow this to happen, we do it to our own detriment. There is spiritual growth that we miss out on if we function within an echo chamber. There is spiritual growth that we miss out on if we keep the church homogenous and work so hard at keeping the mess outside. There is a lot of spiritual growth that we miss out on. And in the words of the late Scottish evangelical scholar, Frederick Bruce, it is a vain thing for Christian individuals or groups to imagine that they can better attain to the fullness of spiritual maturity if they isolate themselves from their fellow believers, especially those believers that make us uncomfortable. But today's passage closes by assuring us that the hardness of the human heart is no match for the creator of the human heart. Because of Jesus and what he accomplished on the cross on our behalf, we can pour ourselves fully into the work of reconciliation and the work of reaching out to people who are not like us. Because our strength to see this through doesn't depend on our willpower. The strength to see this through doesn't depend on our sense of resolve. The power to change, as we see in verse 20, comes from him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. So, to the one who saves and sanctifies us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So, dear church, let us celebrate the God who saves people that make us uncomfortable. Let us pray. Triune God, I need to change. We need to change. We need your spirit because we're unable to do this by ourselves. We ask once again, pour your spirit on us. May conviction break through any defensiveness. Help us, Lord, to look at ourselves that the world would know us through our love for one another, that the world would know us through our willingness to be uncomfortable for the sake of your mission. Father, may Crosspoint Español and Crosspoint Coast be churches that you're able to show off in front of all the rulers and principalities. Maybe we part of that people. Maybe we examples of the kind of love and unity that only you can give, and that is displayed for your eternal glory. We ask in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.